We're going to talk about walking by the Spirit of God today, because in Galatians, eventually when we talk about walking in the Spirit, is really the truth about walking in the Spirit is really a manifestation of Jesus walking in this earth. Too many times we use the term walking in the Spirit, and what we really thinking about character traits. I shouldn't get angry. I should be gentle. But that is true. But the truth of it is really walking in the Spirit is walking in the very embodiment of Jesus. The very walking, living Jesus. Not just character traits or imitation. And a lot of people see the challenge of walking in the Spirit of kind of like turning over a new leaf in life. This isn't a lesson in character traits. It's more about the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God being manifest. The sons and daughters of God being manifest. Jesus being seen in this earth. It's in Jesus that all things are held together. It's in Jesus that everything that we do points to the Savior, points to the Son of God. But we have to understand something too. Jesus didn't come and he was perfect. He was sinless and we are not. But he didn't come and live a life that we would admire. He came as a firstborn son to show the other sons and daughters of God really what it is to walk as Jesus in this earth. And through the Spirit, as the Spirit will take from him and give to us. So we're going to get into Galatians after we start out. But I want to, the Spirit takes on Jesus. John 16:12. I want to read this with you. John, Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, the 12th. Verse. Reading out of the NASB, John 16, the 12th verse. And Jesus says in John 16, the 12th verse, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. It says he's going to guide us into all truth. And this is really critical when we talk about walking in the Spirit. Because I want to break something down. Many times in the time of even the writing of the Scripture, as far as biblical truths, truths of God, to know them in your mind wasn't really the point. It wasn't about memorizing truth. You memorize truth, but truth really was what affected how you lived. To know the truth of the gospel, to know the truth of being like Jesus, to know the truth, it is an active. Too, I want to say this. The Spirit of God, he's going to guide you. And when he guides you into truth, it speaks of living. Again, this isn't simply an intellectual thing. It is your actions. It is your reactions. It is a general aim of your life that he is guiding you into. And again, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, you're really seeing Jesus, and really so much because everything is connected to the head. The Lord wants to guide you into all truth. In fact, even as we get into, we'll read Galatians in a little bit. But the point of the matter is when you really talk about guiding, walking in the Spirit, you really want to start at Jesus. The Spirit of God came to guide us in all truth. He is going to guide you also in the truth of what Jesus is doing. In the truth, when you're in a situation, isn't just, let me remember this character trait and try to walk in that way. But Jesus wants to manifest as you're walking in the Spirit. And when you're in a situation, as a believer, that is actually the only thing matters. When you are making decisions, when you are reacting, and you want to walk in the Spirit, Jesus wants to walk in that situation with you. Jesus wants a certain response. Ask yourself as a believer sometime, I've got hit with this situation. I'm about to do something. I'm going to react. And if you are a son or a daughter of God, the desire of God is you're going to react in the Spirit. And you can easily, and many times as we react, we can go, Jesus is reacting. Or some people would say, oh, that wasn't Jesus reacting. That was something else, the flesh. The old man. What is going to breathe life in your life is when you walk in the Spirit. And when you understand that we also need to surrender. The issue of walking in the Spirit is also, it's for men and women who have surrendered their lives to the cross. They've bowed down and said yes to the Lordship of Jesus. The Spirit is always moving for Jesus. Keep this in your mind. The Spirit of God is always moving for Jesus. And whatever He is doing, whatever He is guiding you, and even as you walk in the fruits of the Spirit, you're really going to be walking in the fruits of Jesus Christ. Jesus in John 5:19, another important thing. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Walking in the Spirit is an active thing. And as you walk in the Spirit, really, the Spirit's going to do the things that the Lord is doing. Jesus said He could only do what He sees the Father doing, and we can only do what we see Jesus doing. What's it say in Romans? As many as are led by the to be led by the Spirit is to be led by the Son, and the Son is led by the Father. Like it says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. So this is the other really important thing before we would get into Galatians. We're talking about walking, Jesus walking in us, Jesus walking through us, Jesus walking to us. And we are actually talking about doing, we can only do what we see Jesus doing. And there is the fruits of the Spirit, and we'll get into that. But I wanted to kind of get into the undergirding of that. Because this is walking as a son of God. And a lot of people, Christians, we can get unyielded, stubborn, do our own thing in our own way. And I've seen Christians who aren't yielded. They said yes to Jesus at some altar at some date far ago, and they're not yielded in their life. In fact, it'll show when they make decisions. They're not decisions God would make. The Son of God would never do what they're doing. And then they try to maybe put on, boy, I don't want to be carnal. But carnality starts with whether you're surrendered as you made that prayer to Jesus or whether you're not surrendered. Carnality isn't just about getting angry. In fact, it's interesting. Unless you start at the root of something and you start where it actually starts, it's hard to succeed. And again, people will many times read Galatians as a separate entity. And they will not understand that basic thing of surrender. I want to tell you something. In every situation you're in everything that happens, the Spirit of God that is in you as a believer had a response. And one of the goals of God is that as you live your life, you grow in your responses, and we can look at your responses and say, that is a man led by the Spirit of God. His reaction, her reaction to that thing, his or her reaction to that situation, that was led by the Spirit. Jesus came through in that situation. And I want to say this as we get on. Self-preservation, these are not attributes that will actually help you live successful. Do you want the results of Jesus in your life? Do you want the results of Jesus in your situation? Do you want the results of Jesus in your ministry? Then you're going to have to walk by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. You know, I find it really important nowadays because in many ways, there's kind of another gospel to where the Son of God is different. This isn't what He's telling people. And they use the word love a lot, and He just loves, and He absolutely does. In fact, the love of Christ is meant to control us. So no matter which situation I'm in, the love of Christ wants to control me. But being led by the Spirit isn't simply a character trait. It'll manifest in our character traits. It isn't simply a moral issue. But it is a supernatural, ongoing, active, living thing. It isn't just your temperaments. Being led by the Spirit, as we get into the fruits of the Spirit, isn't just about a quality we add to our walk, but in the essence, it's the Christian walk. In the essence, it's the manifestation of Jesus. And this era we're in, many people treat some of the things that God, the Bible says, walk by the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And they say, boy, that's a great truth. It's just so hard to get it done. And I want you to think about something. In the New Testament scripture, as well as in the Old, many times the Lord commands something of God's people. And he asks something of them. And he doesn't lay out the verse. He just says, do this. Because he has seated and empowered your being to walk by the Spirit. He has made it to where you are being metamorphosized and being transformed to walk by the Spirit. What is very, very important, and one of the rulers and plumb lines we need to use is God's design, God's whole goal for you, you're being manifested and changed. You're being metamorphosized into the image of Christ. And that's a living Christ, not just imitating some things that Jesus does. That is the living Christ coming through you. And you need to look back and say, am I more like Jesus than I was last year, last month? Am I more like Jesus? Because that's really what's going on. In fact, that's one of the key agendas of God. In fact, that is the agenda in your life. Christ is being formed in you. This is a supernatural day-by-day progress, but that's what we got to measure. In fact, we have to measure, am I more like Jesus? You could talk about soul winning, prophecy, ministries, and all that stuff, but all of that comes out properly as the Son of God is made larger in you and the manifestation of Jesus is getting larger. This is why I find Christians, they're busy in ministry. They're busy doing this for the kingdom, but they're not like Jesus. They're not becoming more like Jesus. So they're approaching these things in the scripture like a hit list or a to-do list. And they're doing some Christian things, but the transformation of their life of being more like the Son of God, it's stagnant. And God has a better way for you. He has a better way for me. Am I becoming more like the Son of God that I was destined to be? Am I changing? And it is a supernatural thing. One of the things that often bothers me about the Christian community is we practice a form of moralism. There's nothing wrong with having good morals. In fact, I would pray as a Christian, you would have good morals and you would grow in those. But it's such a bigger issue and it's so expansive becoming like Jesus. Galatians 5:16. I want you to go there with me and we're going to read right now. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. One of the important things is, walking by the Spirit, it's going to definitely not let you do the things that you would normally please to do, the things in your flesh, the selfishness. But it's interesting, the cure to not be carnal, to not be carnal isn't simply, you know, not being carnal, but rather walking by the Spirit with a supernatural manifestation. Many times we try to refrain from walking in our flesh. And while we're refraining, we don't understand that this Holy Spirit wants to lead us and wants us to walk in a particular way. So when you get into a situation and you maybe it's a situation where you're carnal normally, where you get angry or where you show some kind of deed of the flesh. It isn't enough to simply refrain from not being carnal. It actually is enough, and the cure for carnality is to walk in the Spirit instead. Leonard Ravenhill once said, it's not enough for us to refrain from doing evil, but we must do righteousness. So when you're sitting in a situation and there's a war going on, it is a war. Now, I actually think the more you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to be having World War III in your own system as you grow in this thing. Because the flesh in you, it set its desire against the Spirit. Isn't it interesting? As I walk around, the old man in me, his desire for my life His desire to be, he wants to live out through my actions, live out through my mouth, live out through everything I do, my priorities. He sets himself, the flesh is totally against the will of God, totally against it. And the thing is, the Spirit has come, and there's new actions for you. But again, the cure to not being carnal isn't simply refraining from a carnal action, but rather is by walking in the Spirit. This is a supernatural manifestation. I want you to get this thing through. I wrote down a big mistake a lot of Christians make is that they simply try not to get angry or not be lustful or any other deed of the flesh. But for every thing you deal with as a believer, it has a reaction the Spirit wants to happen. That is in the living. So again, many times you're like, I've got this thing that's coming at me in the flesh and I'm trying to resist not doing it. You can't just stand there. In fact, if you were in a battle and you just, with your helmet and your gun, stood there trying to not be give in to the attack, you would be dead. One of the things with the Spirit and the flesh, the Spirit, you got to even go to the armor of God. It has no backside. There's no retreating. And you're not just standing still. And I think one thing that a lot of people get into, they will have something of the flesh that will try to come in. When you become a Christian, when I became a Christian, my flesh tried to come into the body of Christ with me. It kind of said, hey, we're here. You can still live in this stuff. And a point is, even as a young Christian, we're trying to refrain from being carnal. But the Lord had a response, a reaction in the Spirit. In fact, when I was hitting things, like I said, we're simply trying to resist not doing that or not doing that. But as you're resisting that carnality and not doing that or not doing that, the Spirit of God actually, he wants you to walk a different way. So simply refraining or jumping in a foxhole and trying to put up a shield is a part of it. But walking out in the Spirit is a huge part. It is not enough to simply refrain from the flesh. But rather, God has chosen that you would walk in the Spirit where you normally would walk in the flesh. This so speaks to actions, not about a state of mind. That's a whole other issue. This speaks to walking. Did you notice, too, it says the walk in the Spirit, that you might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is a bigger life. In fact, many times we don't walk in the Spirit in a way in our whole life, and we try to nitpick and kind of say, well, I want to be nicer. I want to be kinder. But really, walking in the Spirit is part of a bigger picture. This is the whole of your life. I can't pick out two attributes of the Spirit and say, you know, I really want to walk in those two attributes. There's a whole life to live. And yes, every Christian has a history. Every Christian, if you look behind you, there is something that you used to walk in as a sinner. Every one of us. There isn't a person that you can meet that walked, that didn't have some sin. Whether it was emotional, certain action they took, it's all connected. Now, being led by the Spirit is really, too, about a consistent lifestyle. It's not a situational thing. Here's the problem. Jesus, when we came to Jesus, when we called him Lord, even in the sinner's prayer, you're yielding all your rights, all your authority over to the will and the authority of another. Walking in the Spirit, this is kind of gets lost sometimes. It's about lifestyle, and it's about a yieldedness. A lot of times, Christians, like I've said in the early beginning, their basic lifestyle is still self. They still walk according to their want, their desires. They still have their own ambition. And then they will hit something where they will be challenged by carnality and they will give in. And they don't realize that there's a bigger picture. It's about surrender. Can I be holding a bunch of stuff and not yielding to the Lord? And then when I need a quality, an attribute of the Spirit, can I just kick that in, and you're going to find that that fails many times. You're going to find that that actually doesn't work. Lordship is essential to your success. And I don't care what situation. Every one of us has situations that have come, situations that are still going to come in the future. And you may be dealing even today with situations. And the Spirit wants to lead you through that situation. And that means the way that you think, the way that you live, and of course, the way that you react. But Lordship is essential. I want you to think about mistakes you make. Many times, often, I see Christians cycle through the same mistake. But when I really look at their lives, they do it this, and when this particular situation arises, they're doing it the same way they did it all before with every failure. You know, I heard once, I was at a seminar and it said the definition of insanity is to do the same thing the same way and expect different results. Absolutely, that is insanity. If you do it the same way, the outcome is going to be the same. God wants to lead you by the Spirit. God, and you might say, yeah, but I'm dealing with a situation and other people are carnal. Doesn't matter. God didn't tell you, make sure this person or your relative or your husband or your friends walk in the Spirit. Then you can walk in the Spirit. The Spirit, the challenge to in Galatians is you walk by the Spirit. Many times we will, in a sense, give a permission and a license. Oh, you don't understand this person. Oh, this situation. Or they do this. In the Bible, literally in Galatians, there's nothing afforded for that. It doesn't say you can't do it. It doesn't say it's impossible. It doesn't say walk in the Spirit. Unless you're dealing with somebody that's obnoxious. Unless you're dealing with somebody that's evil. No, it says walk in the Spirit. God has a desire and a design for you to react, for you to live out. You know, I want to walk by the Spirit because you know what happens when I do that? The results will be that of Jesus. This is what's so powerful. Are you in a tough situation that tries you, that worries you, that maybe even causes fear, that causes anger, whatever? Have you responded in like? And if you responded in like, do you understand that no good thing will come out of that because you're sowing to the flesh? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There is an active war. It is a battle. Don't be surprised when stuff comes at you to even challenge that quality of the Spirit. When we get into situations where we are threatened, whether it's finances, whether it's just something that happened, we are threatened, okay? But don't be surprised. In fact, many times situations arise that even challenge the notion of responding in the Spirit of God. And I've seen Christians get it right. I've seen Christians buckle and actually do evil, dishonesty, whatever the case is. This is something we have to deal with. Because the Lord desires you to respond, to walk in the Spirit. And it's not your own life. But there's an active war. Don't be surprised. Now, it says in Galatians 5:18, and I want to read something to you. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Well, what's really important, because many people read this and somehow they believe that because they're in the Spirit, kind of what they do doesn't matter because it's all good with the Lord. And they read this and misunderstand this. But if you actually read, if you understand it, the law served as a tutor. You know it. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. You know, do not covet your neighbor's wife. And it goes on. What the law did before the new covenant is it brought people, you and anybody, well, those under the law, it actually just showed them how sinful they were. Because without the Lord, no man is going to do right. In fact, without Jesus, many times we do things instinctively wrong, carnal. But the Spirit is bringing you into a new nature and has given you an ability to listen to the Lord, to be obedient. In fact, one of the promises in Jeremiah is that the Lord is writing the law on your heart. No longer on a tablet of stone that simply shows you how wicked you are, but rather it God has changed your nature, and he actually promised to do that. I want to read Romans 2:14. You can just write it. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. What this is actually saying is what was promised in Jeremiah. He writes his word in you to where instinctively you can start responding in the way Jesus would, walking by the Spirit and not in the flesh. Under the law, all it did is led you for a need for a Savior, because it just really showed you how wicked you were. But under the new covenant, he wrote the law on your heart. And also what this means is the Word becoming flesh in your life. That means the Word becomes flesh. The Word of God, the principles of God, the wants of God, you start seeing it in your actions. It's interesting, when Jesus came, it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And as sons and daughters of God, when you got born again, this is what God did. He wrote his laws on your heart. No longer in stone that you would look at and go, I am so evil, but a transformation that would start occurring in a progressive work in your life. The things we got to ask ourselves so much now is, am I becoming more like Jesus? Am I walking more in the Spirit? I don't care about your ministry history. I don't, in fact, that may matter in some parts, but the point I'm getting at is we often put a plumb line on our life, and we often think about where we should be at. And many times when I hear people talk, they will just talk about different things they wish they would have did. But everything about us comes out of walking by the Spirit, because everything about us, as far as God's plumb line, is being transformed and metamorphosized into the image of Christ. Being more like Jesus. I believe there is a need right now in the body of Christ, something fierce, to where the Lord, he wants you to be more like his Son. He's actually working a transformation. Even as I'm preaching, there is an active metamorphosis going on in your life. Now, whether you choose to let that be manifest and grow and excel, listen, you can be carnal all your Christianity. But when we look back, we look today, the most important thing is that I'm becoming more like Jesus. You're becoming more like Jesus. In fact, it's not about ministry to start with. It's not about I did five good things. The whole thing comes down to you being more like Jesus. There's an active example Jesus set and showed you how to live while you're on this earth. And a lot of times when you say that, people say, well, I'm not perfect. No, you're not perfect. But it says you are being perfected. And he actually, the interesting thing about that, the Son of God wants to be magnified in your being. Now I want to say something. That doesn't mean you talk more about Jesus. That means you live more like Jesus. In fact, a lot of times it's interesting how we do this. We increase our message, what we're saying, to definitely be more biblical, but our person needs to accompany that. I want to be more like Jesus. Every situation I'm going to face, Jesus has a particular way. He wants me, he's going to walk through me in that situation. And as I am led by the Spirit, that is what's going on. And that is what we need to weigh. Many Christians, even as I preach today, all over this world, are not only coming well short, they don't even understand this. And after years in the faith, they are less like Jesus, not more like Jesus. That's the problem. That is where you need to understand that the Spirit of God is transforming you. He wants you to walk like Jesus and to be led by the Spirit, because you are a son of God. Now, this is interesting. Theoretically, if you've come to the Lord, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. What's manifesting in you, that can be another story. But the fact of the matter is, you and I, we have been designed to walk like this. God did a perfect work. In fact, he has seeded into your spirit that perfect DNA. Absolutely. He has empowered you, and you can grow in being led by the Spirit. Not only is this important, this is the foundation. Everything comes out of Jesus. We, the church, would do well to start understanding. You know, there's a way that Jesus wants to speak through you. The Spirit wants to lead you when you're talking. The Spirit wants to lead you when you're responding to a situation. The Spirit wants to lead you into every and any and all things. And he is, and it's interesting, because it talks about that the Gentiles, they didn't have the law, but they were doing the things instinctively in the law, meaning God, as he promised in the new covenant, had written the law in their hearts. They were actually having natural reactions to things that showed the Word of God was in them. And at that time, we had the Torah, but we didn't have anything else. In fact, but for Gentiles, they didn't have that either. And yet, they were naturally showing the Word of God. They were naturally living out and demonstrating the law of God in their heart, the Word, the truth of God. The Lord is seated in you from day one. But notice what it says in Romans 15, in that they show the work of law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternatively accusing or else defending them. One of the things that the Spirit of God does too is you're walking in the Spirit, He convicts you. So as you live out and you do something and you act a particular way, the way He was made your conscience, it's called a conscience, wonderful thing to have, I got to say, is that it bears a witness that the action you just took either is of the Spirit or it accuses you because what you just did was totally carnal. We need a fear of the Lord to return to the body of Christ. The fear of the Lord isn't whether people, you know, make solemnly grim faces when they're in church or just get quiet. The fear of the Lord is demonstrated in how you deal with your daily situations, bottom line. We need the fear of the Lord. I need the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you something. I believe that we've come to a time in the body of God where the truth of God and even the standard of living has been watered down so extremely, we're starting from the negative most times. The examples, many are horrible. The general just in the church, again, not necessarily biblical. There are many Christ being taught in many born-again churches that don't line up with the Scripture at all. I'm not talking about cults. See, Satan knows the best deception. It isn't about cults or Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, those are cults and those are lies too. But the best lie is to get it closest to the truth, such as a form of Christianity, even acceptable Christianity that doesn't really reflect the Scripture, but reflects something else. The day you were born again, He wrote it on your heart, His law. I want to read a few of the, as we're going to end in a little bit, I want to read a few of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, let me get my, also get my Scripture. And I want to get into my Scripture, and I'm going to read you, here we go. It says, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one it says is love. Now, love is agapeo. And the thing is, really that word, biblical love, it is an act of one's will. Do you understand that the fruit of the Spirit is agapeo, and that is an act of will, and it actually speaks to love. It is an action. God's love drives you to actually act as Jesus would act, to love as Jesus loved. Many times this quality, we don't even understand biblical love versus worldly love. There's words, different words used for love. But the thing about I love about love, agapeo, it's a choice of one's will. The Lord, one of the fruits of the Spirit is to love. And when is that fruit going to be most seen? When you've been done wrong. When you've been offended. When somebody has wronged you. When somebody has violated something in your life. You know, oftentimes Jesus tells us to love our enemies, and I've said this many times through the years, and I look at the church, the dissension, the slander, the backbiting, and I go, wow, we just are not ready, Lord. But one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, is going to always be most needed to manifest when you are done the worst, when you are wronged. When someone has committed a crime against you. When someone has not loved you. In fact, when you are hated, the fruit of the Spirit in response is love. But that is also to love as Jesus loved. When Peter said he would never deny Jesus, and Jesus had perfect knowledge, he knew that he was going to deny him three times. He loved Peter. He loved him. And he said, get behind me, Satan. Because Peter didn't know what was motivating him to say the things he said. When you talk about a fruit of the Spirit, love, many times we have more of an image of an emotional feeling. We have more of an image of worldly love. And many times when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, we don't really understand that to that fruit of the Spirit to be manifest is really going to manifest Jesus in me, to me, through me, to that which I deal with. To love in the fruit of the Spirit is to love as Jesus loves. To love in the fruit of the Spirit is going to move me to actions. And when you are challenged in your love, in fact, you know the test isn't how well you love somebody that you get along with. That's not where this love is manifest the most. The test is how well you love when you're hated. That actually shows the strength of your love. Many times, even as believers, we are wronged and we are screaming for justice. We want to hurt. We want to respond. It has nothing to do with love. We are angry. We are offended. And yet the very test in the church in America to its ability to walk in this fruit of the Spirit is seen when it is hated, when it is wrong. And in my estimation, humbly, as I speak as just one man, I think this has definitely got to be greater, more greatly manifested. I love when Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what good is that? In fact, Jesus, it's a rhetorical question, no good. And you love those that hate you, that's where divine love is going to manifest. Now, it wants to manifest in your good relationships too, but the fruit of the Spirit, love. I think about this, the joy is another thing that was mentioned. The things that gave, when I walk in this fruit of the Spirit, I want you to think about this. What does it mean to walk in joy? Are you laughing? Are you happy? Do you smile all the time? No, I want you to think of it a little different. The things that gave Jesus joy, and you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, will give you joy. You'll walk into joy, but what gave Jesus joy? What gave Jesus great joy was to do the will of the Father. So again, that fruit of the Spirit, as it manifests, will turn into actions to where our greatest joy comes from being in sync with the Father, being in sync with the will of God in our lives, being in sync that we are doing the things God has asked of us. And again, this is way bigger than some just simple emotional response or feeling. Another one listed is peace. Sons of God walk in peace. And this I got to tell you something. And these times that we are in right now, are you walking in peace? Or are you walking in fear? Are you walking? Meaning, you don't just go like, oh, I'm walking in peace, I feel it. No. I'm walking in peace means that my actions in the midst of trial, trauma, the flood, the fire, my actions show an internal peace. I think of the image of the storm in the boat, and the disciples are with Jesus, and it's overtaking the boat, and they start freaking out, and it says Jesus was asleep in the front of the boat. You want to see a manifestation of peace? That is a man walking in peace. Now, the beautiful thing about peace in Greek is eirene. And eirene is a state of mind that has nothing to do with the circumstances that surround you. Now, think about this. How tight are you? How much fear do you walk in? Paranoia, whatever you walk in. How many times do you not have the peace that sleeps in the bow of the boat when the worst storm is happening? Well, let me say a statement. God's called you to walk in that. That's the fruit of the Spirit. If you're walking differently than that, God wants to transform you. If you walk in fear and you're a fraidy cat and you're scared all the time of different stuff, He does not want that. He wants you walking in peace because the Son of God walks in peace. Now you might say, boy, I've had fear for years. Well, I'll tell you what. Many people wrestle with many things, but if you've had fear for years, God wants to deliver you. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. As His son, as His daughter today, if you're hearing this, His desire, His design, He wants you to walk in peace. He wants to deliver you. One word I got from the Lord that I felt really strong is that the Lord wants to deliver people. There are demonic bondages in lives of many believers. Demonic. And he showed me a bit of, in my mind's eye, a vision. And there are many demonic entities working in many Christian homes, many hearts of many believers. And they need to be pulled out. You know, people go, no, that's not true. Demons can't possess Christians. And honestly, that's another story, but it's really about control. Demons, demonized is the actual word in the scripture. The scripture doesn't always talk about it's in me, it's around me. But it's the amount of control. There are people that have bondages that Jesus wants to deliver. There are Christians that have settled for living in a state and they're still in bondage. Technically, Jesus paid the price for them to be set free, but they continue to choose the bondage versus the fruit of the Spirit. Another fruit, kindness. Wow, being kind as Jesus is kind. I see Christians, if they're wrong, they're real quick to retort with their mouth and they'll lash out. That's not kindness. Being kind as Jesus is kind. There he was on the cross, nailed up there, choking. His lungs would have been, you know, filling up with fluid as he was dying, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's interesting because people go, well, Jesus could do that. I'm the Christian. I'm not Jesus. And I would refer you in Acts to Stephen. When Stephen was getting stoned to death, what's he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Kindness is an action, and I get amazed sometimes because as Christians, we can lash out if we're offended just a little bit. If somebody comes against us, we're all huffing and puffing and, you know, boy, don't mess with me. And I just kind of go, wow, you are Jesus in this earth. What is that all about? We have to quit giving ourselves permission to fall short of what God desires. We have to quit using words like mercy or grace. Yes, absolutely. I'm under God's mercy. You're under God's mercy. But this isn't really about this. When God says, walk in the Spirit that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, he absolutely has empowered you to grow in that. I'm not telling you will get it right all the time. But there is a consistency that he is developing. But kindness. And when does kindness want to be manifest? When someone is unkind to you, it's a great opportunity for that fruit of the Spirit for you to walk in it. And that means your actions towards them are kind, even though their actions towards you are unkind. One of the fruits of the Spirit is to goodness, at least in the NASB translation. And I think about this. They were talking to Jesus. Remember what he said? No one's good except God. He himself said, no one's good except God. So really, the fruit of the Spirit of goodness is the very person of God to be manifest in our character. Faithfulness. Jesus was faithful to the Father as we are to be faithful to him. Think about this for a second. Faithfulness is manifest when everything presses against you. Many Christians, they're great. They can be committed for a little bit. And in fact, the sad thing about faithfulness, it's interesting. Being a pastor of these years, one thing that I've learned a lot about is faithfulness or faithlessness. There are people who can get all excited to do something for some months and then they fade and then they're gone. But the Spirit and the quality of faithfulness is living it. Faithfulness isn't you getting excited. Everybody does the honeymoon stage. Everybody's good for a little bit. And oftentimes when people, the Spirit of God, when faithfulness gets challenged, staying committed to something, staying committed to someone, staying committed to your church, when it gets challenged and, you know, you're about to hop again. Many times Christians will actually and deliberately start making excuses as to why they can't be faithful. And this is really interesting because there are situations that try you. There are situations, whether it's relational, church, anything, that try your faithfulness. In fact, there are people where it's become a very permanent trait. And their quality, that character trait in them, they're faithless. They can't stay committed to something for any period of time. And I want to tell you something. If you are watching this today, I don't care if you've lived life as a Christian for years, but you're always kind of lacking faithfulness. You're always moving on here, there, looking for the latest and the newest, looking for the new excitement. The Spirit of God wants to defy your old man. But here's the other thing. All these qualities of the Spirit, they have an opposite in the flesh. And many times when we fail to see these manifest, the opposite. So goodness is not good. Kindness is not unkind. Peace, fear, joy, depression. These are the opposites of these things. And it's being carnal. Faithfulness to the Father. You know, I got on the pulpit and my desire early on was I want to do the thing you've told me to do, Father, without stopping. The earth may shake, the seasons may change, people may rotate. I want to be found doing what you've called me to do, and I want to be faithful. And this is really critical for all of us. Your faithfulness will get challenged, absolutely. There will be situations that arise that would have you act unfaithful. And the thing that the Lord wants you to know, that you can walk by the Spirit in faithfulness and you don't have to fill the lust of the flesh, which is unfaithful. Gentleness. Wow. Big one. And we're about to end here. Self-control. Isn't it interesting? When self-control is lacking in the believer, God's desire is to give self-control. The Spirit of God wants to manifest in your very being self-control. I don't care if you never knew that in the world. I don't care if you were out of control. In fact, even in a Christian, when a Christian nosedives and they seem to get out of control, many times the Spirit of God, He wants to be made manifest and He wants you to walk in control. But like I said, it goes lesser to the greater. As you are a believer, God is growing you. But it's funny, this matters. This matters. Oftentimes, I want you to think about something as we close. Many times, we talk about growing, and I want to grow in maturity, and it comes right down to the very issue that the Lord is growing you into be more like a son of God, more like a daughter of God. He is growing you and wants to be lifted up in your life and seen. Because to walk in the Spirit is also because all those qualities were seen in the life of Jesus. In fact, as you walk in the different fruits of the Spirit, people start seeing, they see Jesus, because they're actually, those fruits are meant to manifest the Son of God. When they see that kind of love, wow, that's the love Jesus loved with. When they see the peace, Jesus fell asleep in the bow of the boat when the storm was bad. I recognize in that kindness. They just cursed him. And he was kind in the face of that. Faithfulness. Wow. Something I asked the Lord many years ago. Noah builds a boat for over 100 years. And I look at Noah and I think, faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know, it's interesting. The fruits of the Spirit, it's an amazing thing as we close today. But this is what it's about, guys. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. This is God's desire for you today. And this is a supernatural thing. Again, it's a supernatural thing. Are you ready to release? In fact, there are situations where we still fight in our own strength and our own spirit and our carnality gets in the way. As a Christian, you can have an area that you're horribly unyielded in and you will still demonstrate flesh in that area. And yet, God's desire is that you don't. God's desire is that you don't manifest flesh or walk in your flesh, but to walk in your spirit. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're a believer, this has been seeded into you. You can grow in it. You're not some Christian to go, well, I'm a different Christian. He never seeded that into my spirit. That's actually not true. In fact, really, the Son of God has been seeded into your spirit. You are being conformed and metamorphosized into His image. We cannot lie against the truth and say, well, I know maybe that works for other Christians, but I need something else. No, that's actually not true. One of the things with every one of these qualities is that I see the very person of Jesus being manifest in my being, and these fruits of the Spirit manifest the Son of God, because everything's held together in Jesus. And a lot of times we don't see it this way. In fact, these traits, all of them, we could go through the list and point to Jesus' life, and He manifested every one of these traits. So as we close today, we're going to pray. Maybe your situation is tough. Maybe you've been done wrong. Maybe you hate when you're hated. Maybe you have no peace. Maybe goodness or faithfulness isn't something you seem to be more. God, think today is, there's a beautiful message. There's hope for you. It doesn't matter where you come from. And you may have weaknesses. God wants to make them strong. It is a growing thing. We're going to pray right now, but the fruits of the Spirit is all about Jesus, and I pray that you got that connection today, because again, we often treat them as kind of character traits, but they're manifestations. Make no bones about it. These are manifestations. What's going on in your life? There is a Holy Spirit wants you to be led by Him in that situation, and He wants you to respond because He has a response in every situation. This isn't an exam. If you get one wrong, your grade doesn't go down. You just need to repent and say, God, I want this. I want this. Father, we know that as we pray today that many believers, there's a lot of hang-ups going on. And I do believe you've got better. I do believe you want to lift your sons and your daughters up to such a level. I do believe you're bringing about a growth. Lord, the day after I got born again, I remember traits in my very spirit that were so opposite what I was even the day before. I remember specifically even addictions dropping off, things that were natural, things that I chased. All of a sudden, something shifted inside, and you had begun the process of transforming me. Lord, I pray today, and you showed me something that many believers, they get demonized. There's many houses that have a threat of the demonic in the house. Deliver today, Father, deliver today. Lord, you wish to have a response to the different challenges, to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit, you want to speak to us. Lord, there are situations that we deal with, even for other people that we look out for, and we need to be led by the Spirit because there is a manifestation to be led by the Spirit. You have a leading you wish to give us. You wouldn't have asked this and commanded it in Galatians if it was not doable. So I pray as we dismiss today for the hearers to be freed in the name of Jesus. I pray this morning that the fruits of the Spirit would be manifest, that we would see kindness, that we would see love, that we would see joy. Lord, I like joy. I don't like happiness. The Scripture doesn't say God's here to make us happy, but it does say that He gives peace, that He gives joy, and that's from the Spirit of God. So, Lord, the bank account of these fruits of the Spirit is eternal and endless, because Your being is endless. So there's no end to our kindness, even if unkindness comes at us more than once, more than 100,000 times. There is no exhausting the bank account of the fruits of the Spirit. I pray as we close today, you would help our people. Every household that's watching, they deal with issues. Every household that's watching, there are different challenges coming against them. Everybody, all of us, there is divine responses in all of us. I pray confidence and faith today. I do, even as this message goes out, that we can understand. But Lord, so importantly, Jesus, you need us to be yielded to you, our life, the whole of it. You want all of our life, Lord. We can be so compartmental. But you said you made one new man, not a man with a bunch of compartments, but one new man. No closets, no this, no hidden things. So I pray as we dismiss today that literally your presence would be tangible to the listeners. And Lord, those areas that everybody has an area, even as I pray, somebody's praying about a particular area that really plagues them of the flesh of carnality. And we pray in the name of Jesus, God, you have something that they should be doing instead of that, not just trying to not do wrong, but they need to be actively walking and doing right. This is your call, Father. Even as Leonard Ravenhill put it so well, it is not enough to refrain from evil, but it is only enough to actually live and act out in righteousness. So I pray as we go today, I pray a comfort for everybody. Lord, different people are challenged different ways right now. Different people are hurting in different ways. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you would lift things right now. If there are burdens, you would lift them in the name of Jesus. If there are carnality, shortcoming, you are going to make it better in the name of Jesus. Do that work. In the name of Jesus, do that work. I would pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless everyone. See you.